In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, today, September 23rd, we celebrate the conception of St. John, the forerunner and Baptist of the Lord. It's a special commemoration, and we'll speak about it in a moment. First, we'll recall the celebrations that we've had in this new church year, which began on September 1st. We had the Nativity of the Mother of God. We had the Exaltation of the Cross. Today we have St. John the Baptist, the conception, and the calling also of the disciples. We have, in a sense, the Lord gathering to himself all of the people needed to accomplish his work. His most pure mother, his forerunner and Baptist, and the disciples. These people who would be about his activity, which is the reconciliation of men with God, of earth with heaven, the restoration of the human race from the fall. This is the work of God, and this is, by extension, by grace, our work as well. All of us have been called by the Lord as the Mother of God, as St. John the Baptist, as these disciples, to do his work, to reconcile everyone with God. And this liturgical year reminds us of that reconciliation by putting before us, just last week, in the very beginning, the cross. The means by which we're reconciled to God and to one another. Because it's on the cross that we see self-sacrificial, selfless love. This is the only way towards reconciliation, as we recall. Take 10 people, you put them together in a room, and you fill them with selfishness, what will they do to one another? They'll be divided. And any kind of, let's say, alliances that are formed, they're just so that they could defeat others, and those alliances eventually will fall apart too. And this selfishness will lead to isolation, and ultimately, they'll kill each other. You take those same 10 people, and you fill them with the Spirit of God, and you put them in a room, and you have the kingdom of heaven. Because not only are they united to God, who is selfless love, but being filled with that, they will lay down their lives for each other. Think about the bond that those 10 people would have being united in God. That, of course, is what has been entrusted to us. This bond of self-sacrificial love, selfless love. And it's in this bond that we're called to unite the whole world to God. In this selfless, self-sacrificial love. And that's why the church put before us the cross, right at the beginning of the liturgical year, to remind us what it is we're doing in Christ. In fact, the whole liturgical year really points to the work of Christ. We'll trace it throughout the year. The whole Christian calendar points to Christ. But we have to remember that also the Old Testament calendar year, their liturgical commemorations, they all pointed to Christ too. What were the Jews just celebrating recently? Anyone know that?
Yom Kippur.
What does that mean?
Day of Atonement.
Day of Atonement. Yom is day, Kippur is to atone. And this is one of their highest holy days. This, together with Passover, are at the very top. And both of those, of course, point to Christ. When we look at the book of Leviticus, chapter 16, verse 29, the Lord specifies that this Day of Atonement, this Yom Kippur, is to be held on the 10th day of the 7th month. It's called the Sabbath of Sabbaths, and it's a day of fasting, prayer, there's no work, and, as we all know, the great sacrifice, where the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies to offer blood. And he's only permitted, on penalty of death, to go in this one day of the year. This is how high this holy day is, this Day of Atonement. And he offers this sacrifice for the cleansing of sins, for this reconciliation with God. Of course, it typifies Christ, who is the great high priest, who is the Lamb, who enters not into the earthly tabernacle or temple, but into that of heaven, to the very throne of his Father and offers himself for the cleansing and forgiveness of the entire world. Yom Kippur really points to Christ. Now, I mentioned that it's celebrated on the 10th day of the 7th month on the Hebrew calendar. Everyone knows, of course, what that translates to in our contemporary calendar, right? What does it translate to? Well, the Hebrew calendar is movable. What's the earliest that that feast of the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, can be celebrated on our calendar? Take a guess.
July?
No. I'll tell you the month, September. Pick a day. Not the third? Not the first, no? How about the 14th? Interesting. What's the 14th? The exaltation of the cross. I hope you see the connection. In the gospel today that was appointed for the conception of St. John the Forerunner, we hear about his father Zechariah going into the temple to offer this incense. And the people are outside. You know what day he was offering that incense? Yom Kippur. Evangelist Luke, who's that great first church historian, speaks with some detail about everything. And he mentions that Zechariah was of the course of Abia or Abijah. What does that mean? Well, it means that he was a priest who was a descendant of Aaron. It was told in the Old Testament that Aaron and his descendants would be the ones to perform the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. Zechariah was one of those descendants. And he went into the temple to perform his ministry. Now, there were many priests. At this time, estimates are several thousand priests. And they were divided into different groups. They would perform their work at a particularly assigned time according to their group. And St. Luke says that Zacharias was of the course of Abia. He was the 8th group of these 24. And according to the schedule, he was placed to serve in the temple during the 2nd week of the 7th month, during the high holy day of Yom Kippur. So he enters in to the Holy of Holies. He's offering this sacrifice. He's offering this incense. He's offering these prayers. And the archangel Gabriel appears to him and tells him that he's going to have a son. He's thinking, oh, this can't be, as we hear in the scriptures. This is not possible. I'm too old. My wife hasn't had any children. It's not going to happen. But then maybe there's a small portion in him, in his thoughts, that's thinking, well, God has worked wonders in the past. There are many people who he has brought out of barrenness into fertility. And those people become great in the sight of the Lord. Perhaps, maybe this will be the Messiah. Even in our liturgical hymnography, we heard a little bit about that last night. Him wondering, perhaps, is this to be the Messiah? But of course, the angel tells him, no. This one will be the one to prepare the way for the Messiah. He'll get the people ready. He'll get the people ready for the Lord Jesus Christ, who enters in and offers this great sacrifice. St. Paul speaks about Christ's atonement, the forgiveness that comes through it, the reconciliation, and the deliverance. In Romans, he says that God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. In Ephesians, he says, Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. In Colossians, for it pleased God that in Christ all his fullness should dwell, and through him, having made peace through the blood of the cross, it pleased the Father to reconcile all things to himself through him. St. John would have the ministry of pointing out this Christ, this Messiah. In his words, he would say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one chosen by God. He is the one anointed for this very purpose. The great high priest. St. John has this privilege of being the last of the prophets, the first of the martyrs, the greatest of those born of women. He has the privilege of baptizing the Lord, proclaiming him both on earth and in Hades after he's martyred. He's the earthly angel, the heavenly man. St. John is so great, and the church celebrates this feast, his conception, very highly. But St. John always points to Christ, who is greater. He must increase, I must decrease. The whole ministry of St. John is to point to Christ. The whole ministry of the Mother of God was to point to Christ. The whole ministry of the apostles was to point to Christ. And our ministry, of course, is likewise to point to Christ. What a great privilege. I'll share with you one thing which is of note for this day as we celebrate the conception of St. John. And we rely on St. Luke for all of his historical details, which are not meaningless, but are very important. One of the controversies that sometimes Christians will have among themselves, not within the Orthodox Church, but outside, they debate the date of Christmas. People say, well, when was Christ born? It wasn't December 25th. That date was just chosen to replace the worship of the sun god. But I'll share with you something from St. John Chrysostom, who argued that December 25th was actually the correct date. Why did he argue this? He said, well, look at the scriptures. Look at St. Luke the Evangelist, this church historian. He says that Zechariah was of the course of Abijah, which puts him in the temple in September. Our September, translating the dates here. And when he finishes his course, which lasts about a week, when he finishes his course, he goes home and his wife conceives. Well, if his wife conceived in mid to late September, when would she give birth? June. If we celebrate today on the 23rd, September 23rd, the conception, what might we celebrate perhaps for the Nativity? We would say maybe June 23rd, right? It's 9 months. But actually, there's only a 9-month difference with the conception of Christ to his birth to show perfection. For St. John, it's actually 9 months and 1 day. June 24th, we celebrate. Okay, well, what does that have to do with Christmas? When Elizabeth conceived, she hid herself for 5 months, right? And then in the 6th month, she has an encounter with who? Virgin Mary. Who had received the angel, the archangel Gabriel, and conceived within her womb the Christ child. What's 6 months after September? I don't know. March. When do we celebrate the Annunciation?
March.
March 25th. What's 9 months after March 25th?
December
25th. Christmas Day. The church has such wisdom that sometimes we don't realize. I think, brothers and sisters, we can see the wisdom in the calculation of Christmas and the celebration of these feasts. I hope we can also see the wisdom that our God has called us to this ministry of reconciliation. All of this points to that. St. John, Mother of God, the apostles, the cross, everything points to this reconciliation. Let us be people who join that holy community, who are united in this church, who are not divided through selfishness, but bonded in selfless love. Let us be people who call the whole world to that. Everyone. Those who are secular, those who are atheists, Gnostics, those who are friends, those who are enemies. Everyone, call them to Christ. Everything points to him. Everything points to Christ. And brothers and sisters, we have that privilege to point to him too. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.